too sad. I'm a family physician here in town. And Nancy gave me this topic shortly before my father passed away. So it was actually a very relevant passage for me to look at. And it was a lot more involved than I thought. So I actually have about 76 slides, I think, here. And so we're going to whip through some of this stuff, but some of it we're going to move slowly at. And so anyway, my topic is honor your father and your mother. And this is actually the fifth commandment. And the fifth commandment is honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days be long upon the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And we often forget the second part of that particular commandment. And this commandment is repeated many times throughout the Bible. And I'm actually going to show you some of the different passages throughout the slideshow. But the other one is slightly different, and it said that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee and in the land which the Lord God thy Father hath given thee. So in other words, God has promises both with length of life and with land or possessions based on how you treat your parents. And that's something that was a very interesting and different concept than I had ever thought of before with this particular commandment. So this goes clear back to Genesis 1. So God said, let us make man in our image, that and he will have dominion over everything. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And that's the beginning of marriage. But marriage is earthly. It is not heavenly. And so, and Jesus said, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But those that have resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. So in other words, in heaven there is not the institution of marriage, but there's also not death in heaven either. And so that's the thing that sets marriage apart and mother and father apart than any place else in the Bible. So basically, God created the family unit, the male father and the mother, to come together in a sacred covenant called marriage, and with that, children are to result. And the children are actually blessings. Although occasionally as a parent, there may be sometimes when you wonder about that. But anyway, it's a sacred process and it is not honored yet today in our society anymore. People are confused about their gender, they choose sexual immorality, and they have relationships that are torn apart by sin. And this really creates havoc with the plan of God. Society is decaying. I was just listening to the radio this week and picked up some of these statistics, where 2/3 of pregnancies are now to single mothers in Boston. People are not brought up in the church anymore. Marriage is not encouraged. And Medicaid actually discourages. So basically, if you're single and you have a baby, you get everything free, essentially, $3 or $50. However, if you're married, you have to pay insurance, deductibles, co-pays, and that's one of the reasons why 2/3 of these women are single in Boston. And I know of several couples that the father was making plenty of money, but it was cheaper if they did not get married and had their children on Medicaid. And they just listed their residence as two different residents. So we really have to look at some of the things that we do in society that can have an adverse effect long term. And there's another interesting study that I actually didn't quote here, but I was listening, and they said basically what determines whether or not you will have teenagers that end up in jail is whether or not they have a father in the home. And that's why the degradation of society, with putting the emphasis on being single so you can get everything free, is really degrading the family unit and leading to a lot of the truancy that we're seeing nowadays. The other thing that was really interesting is people are no longer sure of their gender. I've been a practicing physician for almost 40 years. I've seen males and I've seen females, and I have yet to see someone that was not a male or a female, okay? People may have delusions, but they anatomically are either male or female. And in fact, John Hopkins actually stopped doing sex change operations because they have 22 times the suicide rate of the average person. A lot of times they go through it and they have so many side effects from the hormones and everything else that a lot of them want it reversed. So in the American Academy of Pediatrics has actually come out very strongly against these gender changes for that very reason. So anyway, in California, 72% of teens can only identify themselves as male or female, which means 27 to 28% of them identified themselves as 57 other gender identities. 57. They're up to 57 different gender identities now. So this is Ephesians, and it talks about how every person is a member of the body of Christ. And so even though these people are confused, we need to treat them with respect, okay? We need to love them as our neighbors, as ourselves, because we're all members of one body. And we need to direct them back to the correct path. And so God designed this again. A man shall leave his mother, his father and mother, and shall be joined into his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So it's a great mystery, but it also is the same mystery that links Christ to the church, because that's also a marriage. And so, I'm going to keep going here. Therefore, a man shall leave his mother and father, we do this, and he called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And so again, what I did was I actually went through this in trying to prepare for this. So the word mother appears 299 times in the Bible, and the father 1,511 times in the Bible. And like I said, I went through the entire Bible and looked at each of these verses, which took a long time. Most of them were genealogy, but that's why this slide deck is a little bit long, is because I took the pertinent verses that related to father or mother or children and tried to incorporate them into this deck. So Adam and Eve were the first parents. They lived in the Garden of Eden, but because they committed sin, they were relegated to the broken earth that we have nowadays. There's sin and death here, and that's why we die. And that's why the first children in all sense has been brought forth into a world of sin and death, full of pain, disease, and temptations. And it's part of our job as parents to guard our children against the temptations and against the sins that they encounter in the world, and to give them wisdom so they know the difference between what's right and what's wrong. So what are some of the duties of children? The duties of children, like it said in the commandment, are to honor your father and mother, to obey your father and mother. Do not despise, curse, or hit your parents. This brings death, and I'm going to show you some passages with that. And it doesn't mean instantaneous death, but what it means is that your life may not be prolonged and as blessed as it otherwise would have been. So you need to follow God the Father to have everlasting life, and that's really important. And interestingly enough, the devil is listed as your father in the Bible too, which I did not know. And so you need to avoid your father, the devil, who is a murderer, untruthful, and the father of lies. And I'm going to show you that passage in a minute. What are the responsibilities of a parent? And this is just some of them. First of all, we're all to set a godly example by our actions and by our deeds. And sometimes that can be difficult. But we're supposed to do the best that we can. We're supposed to honor God the Father and his son Jesus, both. We're supposed to provide physically for our children, spouses, widows, and that's also, and then also our parents too. We're to take care of our own parents. We're supposed to discipline and reprove children, but do not provoke them to wrath. We're supposed to teach children wisdom and responsibility. We're to show love and caring towards family and help others. And we're supposed to lay up provisions for our children and for future generations. And that's sometimes people think that Christians should be poor, and that's not necessarily God's plan for your life. Because we need to take the gifts that God gives us, whether it be wealth or land or whatever our gift is, and actually use it for the benefit of others. So if you do not have income that's adequate to support yourself, you're going to be a burden on society, and God doesn't want that. But God also wants us to have abundance so we can support missionaries, so we can support other programs, and so that we won't be dependent on other people. Honor. So here's another passage. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so that's really important too. You know, I was just thinking the other day, I mean, I know my neighbors, you know, we look out for each other, but I really don't love them as I do my family members, as that I do, you know, some of my patients and things, because I know my patients more than I know some of my neighbors. And so it's probably good, a good example to all of us that we actually need to look out and support for the people that are actually closest to us in our neighborhoods. So another passage, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. In other words, this gives us a promise of longer life, land, and more provision for ourselves. And that it well may be well with thee, thou mayest livest long upon the earth. So again, this is repeated again and again, both in the New and in the Old Testament. So what are the promises if we obey God's word? One, we'll live long upon the earth. Two, we'll live long upon the land that God has given us. The land will be productive. And as someone who is a frustrated farmer, I will say that it's very difficult sometimes to get the land to be productive. And so I do my day job as a physician to support my night job trying to raise fruit trees and different things that sometimes aren't as easy to grow up here. So, but he says that he will give us productive land if we honor our parents. And we will also have many children who, if brought up properly, will also bring us blessings. So that's another thing. Now, what happens if we disobey God's word? There's death. If we strike, curse, or despise parents, so it means our life will not be as long. Iniquities of a parent can impact the children until the third or fourth generation. And that's also something very important, because if we're not setting a godly example for our children, using alcohol, using drugs, whatever, as you guys know from fetal alcohol syndrome, it can have a direct impact on them, or it can also have a generational impact as those children are not raised on what a good home is. You know, they're raised with alcohol, drugs, and sin, and they're more likely to follow that path because they do not know the correct path. And so again, this can go into the third or fourth generation. And the other thing is, you can be removed from your land or removed from your possessions for not following God's commandments. So here's just another one in Mark and Luke. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, and honor thy father and thy mother. And again, Luke, same thing, honor thy father and thy mother. And again, there's deadly consequences, and these come from the Old Testament, both Exodus and Leviticus. He that smitest his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And in those days, they were put to death. Although in this day and age, we don't tend to do that as much, but there can be consequences for the children. And he that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And so God says, you shall fear every man, his mother, and his father, and keep my Sabbaths, for I am the Lord your God. So we're supposed to honor our parents, but we're also supposed to have a little bit of fear of them too, which I thought was interesting. You know, I once was at a conference, and they were talking about raising children, and they were the name of the conference is actually Raising Children God's Way. And so they said, what do you want? Do you guys want an obedient child or a responsible child? And I was thinking, well, it says in the Bible an obedient child, but they said, no, you want an obedient and a responsible child, but more importantly, you want a responsible child, because once the child gets out of your household, who are they going to obey? And so what you need to do is teach them the principles of God's word so they will lay it in their heart and it will follow them all the days of their life. And that way, when they get away from your home, they're less likely to follow someone obediently that may mislead them. And so I thought that was a very interesting premise, and it actually completely changed the way that I raised my children, because I raised them to be responsible instead of necessarily obedient, although I wanted both. Okay. So, again, this is repeated many times. For God said, honor thy father and thy mother. He that curses his father or mother, let him die a death. And then Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. And whoever curseth his father or mother, let him die the death. And this, again, is a little bit different, because in the Old Testament, he shall be put to death. But the New Testament said, let him die the death. So it's just a little bit different, but enough so you know that God's going to shorten that, most likely shorten that person's life. So instructions on behavior. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's from Ephesians. And that is a very relevant passage that I kind of summarized a little bit earlier. John was kind of an interesting book because it actually had more talk about what a father was than any of the other books of the Bible. And so I'm going to be actually doing quite a few passages from John throughout this presentation, but I thought this one was one of the ones that really summarized what we are supposed to do. And so it says, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I am in you. So not only do we have God the Father in us, we also have Jesus his Son, who is also a Father in us. And that's really important. So once we follow his word, we've gotten saved, baptized, and accepted him, we are part of who he is and part of his mission. So he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So God manifests himself to us if we love God the Father and we love Jesus the Son and honor him. Timothy, now this is talking about the days that I think we're currently in, because there are several passages in the Bible that reference the end times. And when I look around at the things that are going on in society right now, this was very interesting, because you think that men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, and disobedient to parents. And I just look at all the things that are going on today, and that's one of the highlights of things that it's kind of summarizes a lot of things. They're without natural affection, they're truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, so in other words, they run off at the mouth, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, but also lovers of treasure too. So Romans says the same thing, and even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things that are not convenient. And again, they're again filled with all of these different sins, murder, envy, debate, deceit, malignancy, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, and again, the disobedience to parents. And to finish that passage, it says, these children are without understanding, which means they have never been raised in a family or never gotten to know God and God's principles. And that is one of the reasons that causes them to do all of these things, is they have not the understanding that they need to understand what is proper and what is correct. And they don't understand the love of God. So these people also, as we get towards the end times, will commit such things that are worthy of death and take pleasure in them. And that is really kind of a scary thought. So you look at all the crime and stuff that's happening in Anchorage now, and the people that are not really remorseful for what they're doing. And that is very worrisome. So who are our fathers? First of all, we've got God the Father. He's the creator of heaven and earth. We've got Jesus, his son, who's our spiritual leader, our redeemer, and in Isaiah, he's referred to as the everlasting father. His bride is the church, which is our spiritual mother. So our earthly father and mother give us life, and there's sometimes adoptive parents, too, that take on that role. The male church elders are also our fathers, and the elder women in the church, including widows, are mothers. And so we've got this whole hierarchy where you have, you know, God the Father, then you have Jesus in the church, then you have the leaders of the church, and then we have our earthly mothers and fathers. So there's kind of a backup system, so if something happens, we can go to other people for advice, or if there's a widow, she has men in the church that can hopefully help mentor her, pastors, but what we all have to realize is God the Father is the Father of all of us. And that's who we really need to concentrate on and turn to. So what I did was, in this handout I had you, this is actually kind of a witnessing tool, which I found very helpful, because when I was somebody asked me what Christianity was, and it kind of took me by surprise, because in this society, you kind of assume that most people know what Christianity was, and I found myself kind of struggling to tell people what it was. And so this is a really easy tool to use, and basically what you do is draw three circles. One, God the Father that created a perfect world. Then sin entered into the world, and we now live in a broken world of man. It's full of sin, lies, deceit, sex, drugs. I mean, you can go on and expand however you want to. In order to get out of this broken world and back to heaven into the perfect world, we need to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. And you said, you know, he died, but he was resurrected, unlike anybody else, from the dead, and that we need to follow and believe him. And we need to repent and ask forgiveness for our sins. And so in less than a minute, you can kind of explain the principles of Christianity, and then you can go on and enlarge however you want to. You can tell your story, you can talk about sin, I mean, however you think it is, but this is a really good witnessing tool for talking to people. And then I put under that broken world, you have both man and woman, father and mother, and those earthly, and then again, under Jesus, you have the everlasting spiritual father, and the bride is the church, who is your spiritual mother. Then on the other side of this card, these are different verses that you can use to actually help when you're mentoring somebody through Christianity, or if you just want to learn more about it too, because it's very difficult sometimes with a new Christian to know what verses to look at in the Bible, and so this kind of helps you through some of those passages so you can actually go back and review or teach some of the major principles of Christianity. So I thought this was a very good tool, and it's called the Four Fields of talking about witnessing and stuff. But anyway, it's very important for us to spread the gospel of Jesus, and this is a really good way of doing it. Okay, Isaiah. Here's where I come up with Jesus being the everlasting Father. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And that's the first time I never thought of Jesus as being an everlasting Father, but it's right there. In Timothy, it talks about treatment of elders, how you're not supposed to rebuke elders, but you're supposed to treat him as a father. Elder women, again, in the church as mothers, you're supposed to honor the widows. And if you have widows that have children or nephews, they're supposed to learn piety at home also. But they may need some help to kind of take the place of their parents, and that's good and acceptable before the Lord. And so basically it's talking about us as a church community going and helping, you know, these people that need help that say don't have fathers in the family. Proverbs and Corinthians, again, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old he will not depart from it. And then the next one is, behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours but you. For the children ought to not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Okay, and so that's a very important passage there, because it talks about children not necessarily always having to provide for their parents, but for parents to stay up and not to provide, to store up enough provisions so that they don't have to be a burden on their children. And I think in this day and age, oftentimes that's not the case. So responsibility of a father and mother, but if any provide not for his own, he is worse than an infidel, and that's very important because a lot of times with all these single families, the women are the ones that are bearing all the burden, and the fathers are not providing for their children, and that can be vice versa too. And then it says also, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And that's talking about us doing good works by helping those that need help. And also, it's the responsibility of the parents to provide for their children, both physically and spiritually, and do good works to honor God. And then, this is very important passage too, that God gives us riches. And in Ecclesiastes it says, every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. So God wants you to rejoice in your labor, and it to be profitable. And it's okay to become wealthy off that. And this is a gift of God. So we are given wealth to do good things in the name of God, and so we won't be dependent on others. And just remember, the wealth is God's, it's not ours. And that's why it's important, if he gives you excess wealth, to be able to help others with that. Okay, Matthew. Here's some things that we need to do as parents, which sometimes can be hard. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. And so these are some of the things that we need to do as a parent to set a good example for our children. And the last passage here was kind of interesting, because it says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. And I don't know about you, but I have trouble being perfect. And so I thought this was an interesting passage about how we're supposed to strive for perfection in our life. Yes?
The Greek actually means complete, mm-hmm. or the idea of whole. So it's not a thing of intrinsically good or evil, it's a thing of being whole.
Complete with God?
So it's like getting healed, being whole, mm-hmm. being complete, yeah.
Okay.
It's very different than the way you think of it.
As being perfect. Because a lot of times the language is shifted.
Yeah.
Okay. So the children's responsibilities, again, this comes from Ephesians. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And again, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is pleasing to the Lord. And then, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. So Proverbs actually has a lot of different instructions for children and parents, and so I'm just going to go through some of them right now. So my son, keep thy commandments, the father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart, and tie them about thy neck. And so that's why sometimes in some of the religious groups, they actually will tie things around their neck and have little boxes either over their heart or on their forehead. So for those of you that have been in Israel, you will see some of the Orthodox Jews with those boxes and stuff. So a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. And a wise son heareth his father's instructions, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. So in other words, a son that's not listening is not going to pay any attention, is likely to get in trouble. But I thought it was kind of interesting that a wise son made a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. So it kind of shows the difference in attitudes or ways that we kind of look at our children, whereas mothers, it's kind of a little more emotional, dads, it's a little more, you know, set path, and God wants that balance to bring our children to their full potential, to balance them out. And that's why being raised in a single household, sometimes you'll end up with balance, but sometimes you won't. So hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. And so, in other words, take care of your elders and listen to them, although sometimes you may end up doing different things based on your own wisdom at that time, because you have your own household. Buy the truth and sell it not, and also buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. So those are the things that we need to teach our children so they can keep them inside them. The truth, wisdom, good instruction, and understanding, so they can understand why we do the things that we do. So the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth the wise child shall have the joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give thine heart, and let thy eyes observe my ways. So in other words, again, if a child that follows the Bible is going to be a joy to their parents. And Matthew, it's interesting, because here it's talking about our relationships with God the Father, and how that we shouldn't call just any man our father on earth, but we need to actually call God the Father our Father. And so it says, and you shall call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, that which is in heaven. And neither shall ye be called masters, for one is your master, and that's Christ. And it says, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. So we're all to be servants to one another and to help each other. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, and therefore go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And here you see the separation between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So they're three in one. But it's really important that we go throughout the world and talk and teach. And that's why it's important to, you know, not only be missionaries here at home, but also be missionaries or support missionaries throughout the world, so the entire world can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So you need to teach them to observe all the things that I have commanded to you. And God says that he will be with us always, even unto the end of the world. And so even when troubled times hit us, it's really important to remember that God is with us. And that's sometimes that we often forget. Mark said, when you stand praying, forgive, that your Father in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. And again, this is something that's really important for us to teach our children, is when they do something wrong, they need to ask forgiveness from God the Father, from us as parents too. And if we don't forgive them, God's not going to forgive us. And so that's a very, very important passage. But if you do forgive, neither will your Father in heaven, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So again, he will not forgive them. Luke, this talks about, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? The answer, of course, is not. If we care for our children, we'll give him bread. But he says that all of us have an evil nature here, but yet most of us will take care of our children, whether we're Christians or not. And so he's saying here that if we as parents will take care of our children, even those that don't know Christ, how much more will our Heavenly Father, who loves each and every person, no matter whether they're a believer or not, how much more he will give us. And that God will give us the Holy Spirit to those of us that ask him for that. So again, as parents, we're to seek ye the kingdom of God, and everything will be given to us is that God thinks that we need, and it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom of heaven if we ask for it and if we believe in him. And it's also important when we're gathering our treasures on earth that God says that we should actually put our treasures in heaven, and those treasures need to be, you know, teaching people about Jesus so they can go to heaven too, because that's where our treasures will be in heaven. It's the souls that we've actually told about Christ Jesus. Those are our treasures in heaven. And as I look at all the theft around here in Anchorage, where they're stealing cars and even things in the building here, you know, anything can burn up, it can be destroyed, and that's why it's really important, even though we do have treasures here on earth and we're supposed to, you know, care for ourselves, our major focus should be actually treasures in heaven. And Jesus answered them. He said that God, he claimed that God was his Father, and that's what he was getting in trouble with here. So the Jews sought to kill him. And he said the Son can do nothing of himself but what the Father do. So all power from Jesus came from his Father. And that's really important, too, for us to recognize that. That Jesus was God's Son, and he was following his Father's instructions, just as he wants us to honor our fathers. So John, again, he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which sent him. So if we don't honor Jesus and believe in Jesus and do the works that he wants us to do, then we are not honoring God the Father either. So the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him even greater works than these, that all may marvel. So in it talks here about how the Father raises up the dead, but also Jesus was given the ability to raise up the dead, and he's also given the responsibility to judge us in the last days. So the Old Testament prophets will be judged. In other words, anybody that lived in Old Testament times will be judged by Old Testament law, but those of us from the New Testament times will actually be judged under the Ten Commandments and the commands in the New Testament, and our judge will actually be Jesus. So verily, 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 I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And that's why John 5 and John 3:16 are such important verses for talking to people about what we actually believe as Christians. And this was very important to me as a physician too, because as I was watching the transition of my dad from you know, death on earth into life in heaven, it was very important for me to know that he was saved. And it really gives me a sense of absolute relief when I know that my patients are believers, when I have to tell them, you know, that they have cancer or something else, because I know if something happens to them, you know, that we will be reunited later. And so when I see people go through the grieving process, if they have a belief in Christ and they have a belief in God the Father and in heaven, grief is less in a lot of ways. It's lightened. Whereas there's so many people that don't have that belief and they just feel like you go from mud to mud and there's an ending and you'll never have that hope of being reunited. So it says here, the hour is coming and now when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall hear it and shall live. And so the dead will be arise to go to be in heaven with Christ. So this is it. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming which that we all the grave shall hear his voice. There shall come forth, and they that have done good into the resurrection of life, and they have done evil into the resurrection of the damnation. So again, heaven or hell there. And so again, you need to seek the will of the Father. Very important. And again, this is another emphasis. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. So in other words, study the word of God and the words which the Son of Man has given you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So in other words, if you have salvation, God the Father has sealed you, and you do have the promise of eternal life. I'm using the King James Version, and sometimes the wording is a little different than it is now. So, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, but he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So, this is kind of interesting because he's talking to the Pharisees here, and he says, ye are of your father the devil. And can you imagine Jesus standing up in front of all these Pharisees, the 72 people of the Sanhedrin, and saying that you're of your father, the devil, and that the devil was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. And so I just think of that, you know, when I'm referencing this passage and stuff like that, and you can see understand why, because Jesus called out the Pharisees just as he calls us out when we're sinning, and you can kind of be somewhat offended by his language. And that's why when he talks about dividing mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and stuff like that, because each of us has to make an individual decision to follow Christ. So he says we need to honor the Father. And if you don't do that, you dishonor me. And this is kind of interesting, too, as he talks about the sheep and the goats. So those of us that are followers of Christ are sheep. And my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And so once you have that eternal life, it cannot be plucked out of you. And that's a very important passage about that. He also goes to prepare many mansions. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. So again, this is just like we have to prepare provisions for our children. God is preparing provisions for us in heaven. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through me. And so again, you have to go through Jesus to get to God. And this was an interesting one. And when I was just in Vietnam, this passage really, really hit me. And it says, the children gather wood and the fathers kindle the fire and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven. I didn't know who the queen of heaven was. And so it was very interesting, but we went to some of the temples and stuff there. And they had Buddha, but they also had female Buddhas, and they had multiple different Buddhas, and they were calling her the goddess of heaven. And so it's very interesting because, and they were baking bread, and they were gathering wood, and they had all these rituals where you had to bow three times, you had to put, you know, the food on one side and the other offerings on the other side, and you had to leave them for at least an hour, and the food had to be blessed, and there were all these different rituals, and I had never really experienced that before or paid much attention to it before. And so anyway, it was very interesting. They poured out the drink offerings to other gods that they may provoke me to anger. And it was kind of interesting because I went to Europe. And spiritually, many parts of Europe are totally dead. I went to Vietnam, and these people, although they're totally spiritually blind and they've never heard the word of God, they in some ways were more spiritual than the people of Europe because they were actually following what they believed was the truth, even though it is not. And so this was very interesting. And it says, I will send the sword, the famine, the pestilence among them until they be consumed from off the land that I gave them and to their fathers. And I was just looking at that. And if you really look at the nations that are most prosperous in the world, most of them are Christian nations. And so it's just kind of, and if we lose our Christianity and our children lose that, then there's no guarantee that America or Europe or any of these previously Christian nations will maintain the status and the prosperity that they've had in the past. So, back to the children a little bit. A fool despiseth his father's instructions, and he that regardeth reproof is prudent. So in other words, follow your parents' instructions. And children are the crown of old men. So basically, grandfathers love grandchildren is basically what it's saying here. And the glory of children are their fathers. So it's really, really important to have a good Christian father. He that begetteth a fool doth to his sorrow. In other words, it'll cause sorrow. And the father of a fool hath no joy. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear him. A wise son make a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Again, it talks about respect for your parents here. A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentious of a wife are continual droppings. I thought that was absolutely a fascinating way to put it. So it's really important to be a wife that works with her husband, and you work together to raise your children. Otherwise, it can be a disaster. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. And that's why, again, it's very important to choose wisely and to teach your children how to choose wisely when they marry. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is the son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. And he that curseth his father and his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. So again, a reference to death, an early death, because of disobedience. He that keepeth the law is a wise son, but he who is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother is a companion of the destroyer. In other words, the evil one, the devil. Whosoever loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father. In other words, a child who loves wisdom is rejoicing and is a boon to his father. But he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. In other words, wastes money. Again, talking about rod and reproof, how we're supposed to discipline our children. And if we leave them to our own, which is happening now in our more and more in our society, it will bring us all to shame. And this is the generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. And an eye that mocketh his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck out his eye. I thought, man, what a passage. I mean, that in itself would make enough to make me obey my parents. Here we go. As he came forth out of his mother's womb, naked he shall return his came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this is just a reminder again that we can do provisions on earth for our family, but we can't take anything with us. The Lord thy God, I'm a jealous guard, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon their children into the third and fourth generations. And this is where that passage that I came from earlier that talks about how it's a generational curse. And then, again, this is in Numbers. It's showing how important it is to be really good parents. So the Lord is long-suffering, of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty. And that's why if you do wrong, the iniquity will rest on your children. So you're to hearken to the judgments, in other words, the commandments of God. And if you do that, he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee, and he will also bless the fruit of thy womb. So bless your children if you honor and obey your parents, and also the fruit of your land. And again, keep all the commandments so that you may be strong. And that was another one. So you're not just kind of pushed this way and that way throughout your life by other people that are pulling you in ways that are incorrect. And again, if you keep all the commandments, your days in the land will be long and the land will flow with milk and honey. And again, this is really interesting because I don't know if you guys noticed, but when Trump was actually inaugurated, the rain started, okay? Yes, very interesting. And rain is a blessing in the Bible. Because without rain, especially in the Middle East, nothing grows. And so rain is actually taken as a blessing in the land. And so that's why, one of the reasons why I picked this verse out was because rain is so important. So it says, hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land. Both the first rain and the later rain. So the later rain is really important a lot of times for ripening crops and stuff. So anyway, and it also causes the grass to grow up so you can have cattle and that you may eat and be full. So what are some of the curses that can occur here? So it says that you really need to make sure that your heart is not deceived and that you turn aside from the word of God. Because there's a lot of deceit out there. I look at so many people are being deceived through news media today, through scientists that aren't really telling the truth. And so it's really important to stay grounded. And if you guys have questions, to seek the advice of other people and elders. And it's really important not to serve other gods. And the gods can be the actual physical gods, like I saw in these temples in Vietnam, or it can be gods like money, you know, like possessions. It can be all different kinds of things, drugs, you name it. And so if you do put other gods before God, then you will end up with the Lord's wrath, and there will be no rain, and you will perish quickly. So again, lay God's words upon your heart and teach them to your children. So you're supposed to teach them to the children when you're in your house, when you're walking with them, like down the street, when you're laying down at night and when you say prayers with your children, and when you rise up. So this is to be a continuous learning process for your children throughout the day. And that's really important. And in Israel, they actually put a little plaque with some of these commandments of God on the doorposts of their house, and that's where this actually comes from. So you'll actually see them there and upon the gates of their houses. So what are some of the rewards? Your days are going to be multiplied. You keep all the commands which I command you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. Then the Lord God will allow you to keep your land and to keep your possessions, and a lot of times will actually enlarge your possessions. All right, this slide got mixed in kind of wrong, but anyway. If a man have a stubborn or rebellious son, which does not obey the voice of his father, the voice of his mother, when they have chastened him, they will actually take him down and stone him. And again, this is in the Old Testament. And so if a man is stubborn, rebellious, a glutton, and a drunkard. So those were all considered sins and worthy of stoning in the Old Testament. So, and if a man, I thought this was an interesting passage. If a man have committed a sin worthy of death, they will hang him on a tree. And that's why Christ was actually hung on a tree. And in order so the land would not be defiled, you have to bury him the same day. And that's why they actually took Christ off the cross and buried him the same day, because he was actually treated as a man worthy of death. And that's why they had to have his. If you go to Jerusalem, you'll actually see one of the, there's several tombs that are in that area, but all of them are very, very close to where he was hung on the cross and died. Again, Kings, it says you need to keep your statutes and commandments as thy father David did walk, and then I will lengthen your days. I've just been amazed how throughout this entire thing, it just reinforces again and again and again keeping the Ten Commandments. Their fathers trespassed in Israel, they killed Christ, and that's why they were outlawed from the land of Israel for 2,000 years. And they've just been allowed back in now, and part of that is because so many of the Jewish people have come to know Christ again. And in fact, the leaders of the movement that actually brought the whole Balfour Declaration were actually Jews that were Christians. And so it wasn't Orthodox Jews, it was Christian Jews that helped reestablish the nation of Israel. And I thought that was very interesting because I had never heard that before. So anyway, if you do disobey God, and again, here they had killed Christ, this is what this is referring to. So the fathers were fallen by the sword, the sons and daughters and wives were taken captivity. So very serious consequences. And then again, going back to Psalms, when my father and my mother forsake thee, then the Lord will take me up. This is just saying that even when you go through difficult times like we just talked about, so the Lord is your eternal father, and he will always take you up and protect you and help you. And that's really important, even when you're going through difficult times. And God is a father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, and he's God in his holy habitation. So he actually has a multiple different roles. And he also setteth in the solitary in families. So in other words, if you have, you know, single mothers and single fathers, he is also responsible for helping them if they turn and ask him for help. But if they're rebellious, they won't get help. So again, hear ye the instructions of a father. Retain those words in your heart, keep the commandments and live, and get wisdom, because wisdom is the principal thing. And so that's what you need to do, is seek wisdom as a parent for raising your children, wisdom through the Bible for going and following the commandments. I'm just about done. So wisdom shall bring thee honor. Wisdom will prolong the years of your life. And will allow you to follow in the paths of righteousness. So you enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men, but you use wisdom to guide you, and the Bible to guide you. And this is also emphasized again in Matthew. It says, "Whoever shall confess me before men, him I will confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." So it's really important to keep your children on the straight and narrow path as parents and as grandparents. And Jesus says, "For I am come to set man at variance against his father, daughter against her mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." That's because people, when they don't follow Christ and get out of line, it can result in family arguments, which I thought was really interesting. "He that loveth his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." And so that, again, is a reminder to put God in your life first. "And he that loveth a son or a daughter more than me is not worthy of me. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." So God is everything to us, and it's important to remember that. And this, I'm just going to finish with this because I've got 1 minute left, so I'm right on time. It says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be." So in other words, we need to forgive our children when they do things wrong, just as God forgives us, and we need to set good examples, and we need to follow God's law. So what I want to do is just finish with one version of the Lord's Prayer, and he said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread," so in other words, asking God for provisions, "and forgive us our debts as we forgive those our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So it's real important to remember to pray to our Father, especially when we're going through difficult times, and turn our burdens over to him, whether it be our own burdens, our burdens as parents, or sometimes when our children get out of line and are going down the wrong path, to turn them over to him too. It's also important if you have extended family, whether it be blood relatives or whether it be elders in the church, that if you have a burden, go and ask them for advice, because there's many times in the Bible that it says, you know, it's wise to seek wisdom from a multitude of counselors and not just one person, because otherwise you can get false advice if you follow just one person. But just make sure it's biblically, their advice is biblically based. Does anybody have any questions at all? I know that was a lot of material. Okay, sounds good.